Yay.
After 6 months' research, 2 years ago, we introduced this excellent book, Australian book, Wisdom in Leadership. It's easy reading and it's positive, it's got humour and all sorts of stuff like that. It's really good reading, and it's excellent in its coverage. And as I said, it's Australian, and that makes a big difference to us. We elders read it first and then gave it to about 10 members of the congregation, encouraging their growth and participation. As elders, we reviewed... Yeah, thanks. As elders, we have reviewed our rules of association, our ROA, to see if we thought changes could satisfactorily accomplish our being constitutional. We could change the need to retire after 10 years as an elder. However, we do not think this should be changed or removed. In fact, it might be more biblical to reduce it to 7. We could reduce the number of elders required from 4 to 3. In our discussion, we have reaffirmed that 4 should be the minimum number because of sharing. Sharing the workload, sharing breadth of experience, and shared wisdom. And with 4, if any elder is away, there is still a quorum. We've discussed... We've discussed nominating Larry... So these are things we've done. We've discussed Larry as nominating Larry to serve as an elder. Since Ian retired, Larry has been co-opted to fill the role as a casual vacancy. And this is specifically allowed in the rules. If Larry agrees and is accepted as an elder, he will join Peter. Just 2 elders. We're introducing a leadership support team, as Graham will read Peter's paper. And we are working towards creating a new leadership role, which Larry will explain. The purpose of these 2 initiatives is to reduce the workload on current and future elders. This should allow the elders to focus on the spiritual oversight of the church, in the church, and to recognise and give greater authority to the leadership support team, which is what Peter would have been explaining and Larry and Graham will be doing now. So what will be our future? For Bedford Community Church to continue as a church complying with our ROA, we need 3 more elders. Personally, I would say we need 3 new elders now. Several men have been asked by the elders to consider eldership. We ask you as individuals and as a congregation to talk about this amongst yourselves. Again, because it is very important, please talk about it amongst yourselves and pray with us that the Holy Spirit will move in the hearts of members. Thank you.
My name is Graham Peter Taylor. Richard mentioned about trying to reduce some of the load that exists on elders, and you know, let's be honest, there is a story that runs in our church that why would you want to be an elder? It's just an overload role. And what we're introducing to you here is a way of shifting that and allowing elders to be what we actually think the scripture says that they should be. So here is Pete's presentation. It's a presentation from all of us, obviously. So we're talking about a leadership support team concept, and it's actually not a new idea. It's been implemented many years ago in this church. But the difference in this implementation is to, rather than simply introduce a new level of leadership, it's a strategy to invest our current ministry areas and operational leaders with. So it's talking about people who are already providing leadership in this church in how it operates. but investing with them the authority to make their own operational decisions without necessarily involving the elders. So we're separating spiritual or leadership or oversight from operation in the church. That's what this paper's about. So an authority to make their own operational decisions without unnecessary involvement of the elders, and the responsibility to liaise directly with other ministry areas and operational leaders as part of this group in making their own decisions. And we'll show you some models and be time later on if you've got questions. So let's look at the first graphic, if we could have that up, please. This describes how we operate at the moment. Oh, it's not quite as neat as Pete's diagram, but that still does the job. You can see around the outer circle we have the the various ministries in the church, and the practice has been for a long time, everything gets fed to the elders, and that can be from the smallest things to the largest things, and that's what this paper is about, this recommendation is about, is shifting that. That has sort of worked okay when we had large elderships, but even now we're saying, irrespective of the size of eldership, it's time to shift everything going to the elders. So the composition of this leadership support team would consist of representatives from our current ministries. Example, children's ministry, music team, ministry committee, building committee, etc. Ideally, these would be the existing leaders of those teams and the committees, but could instead be a trusted representative from those teams. So the idea would be that a representative or the leader from those teams would meet together to inform each other of what's going on and be aware of the what's happening in each other's area, and they would be responsible for the operation of the church. It would not need to come to the eldership. So the LST might have an elder included in their meetings and communications, but only as an observer or somebody, if there were immediate questions to ask to about eldership, they could answer those. There might be a chairperson from this group, or it could be, Larry will talk more about this, it could be the new pastor that we're looking to engage. So think of these people coming together, responsible themselves for the operation of all these and informing each other about what they're doing. So the operation of it would be the leadership support team would meet regularly. They could easily take advantage of modern technology solutions, like they could meet on Zoom and so on, particularly if there's young families involved. The LST's meeting communications would be by the means by which the ministry areas liaise directly with one another, especially where decisions in one ministry area may have an impact on the other. So they're actually there together. They can recognise where, we take people, we're chasing these people, but hold on, they're involved in another ministry. And so those things get worked out. So let's look at the second graphic. And I don't know how that's going to, that's looking better. That's more like what Peter produced. So if you, can picture this leadership support team, and they're all represented around there, and they're actually meeting together. And they're informing each other about what they're doing and working out where there might be any clashes of staff and so on, responsible for the operation of their areas. So the advantages that we see in this is that presently there's very little direct communication between those ministry areas in our church. Instead, ideas or decisions from our ministry, from one ministry area, tends to go straight to the eldership. Then if these ideas or decisions have an impact on another ministry area, the elders must communicate with them and their ministries, receive feedback, continue to communicate back and forward amongst our ministry areas, the result is inefficient and sometimes stressful communication decision-making. So we're trying to take away this idea, everything comes to the elders. Now, these people can handle it, and they can handle it well. So empowering the ministry areas to communicate directly through the LST and to make their own operational decisions without unnecessary involvement with the elders will make operations more efficient and potentially less stressful. Ministry areas and leaders can decide for themselves what works on the operational level and can communicate directly with one another, receiving, the communication, relieving the communication bottlenecks at eldership that exists at the moment. And this is the key bit for the eldership that we're offering for the future is less than what exists now. That is part of the plan here. This will also free up the elders to focus less on operations and more on the spiritual oversight and direction and vision of the church. That's probably a beautiful summary in a nutshell of the purpose of this. So let's look at the graphic of what the elders would do under this new approach. So these are the sort of areas that the elders would be focusing on: mission, direction, prayer, teaching, theological issues, higher level budget and legal matters, pastoral care strategies. Pastoral care, by the way, was listed under operational. This is like the high level stuff. Mission strategies, staff appointments, and church discipline. So that's what we actually think the scripture is talking about, that spiritual eldership is about. For some reason, we've evolved over the years of having spiritual leadership and operation all bottlenecking with the elders. For the LST to work, the elders would need to commit to removing themselves from most operational decisions. The authority of the leaders of our ministry areas, the authority of the leaders of our ministry areas to make their own decisions will need to be respected by the elders, who should only get involved in rare cases. For example, if the LST is unable to come to a decision and request assistance from the elders, or if a proposed change is outside the operating guidelines, like approving a budget or changing the vision or direction. The leaders of our ministry areas, teams and committees will need to commit to communicating plans and ideas with each other directly through the LST so that operational decisions are made for the welfare of all the activities of the church and not for just for a specific ministry. The elders were in discussion of this concept for nearly all of last year, and in October, November last year, we approached two focus groups, a group of past leaders in the church and a group of younger, current or future leaders in the church. We put this proposal to them and they encouraged us to proceed with it and come and present it to the church, and here we are today. So next steps. So the next steps after this presentation and the opportunity to, at the end, to get your feedback, the elders will meet to discuss your feedback and then begin conversations with the existing ministry leaders or their delegates. You'll be hearing more about this in the coming weeks. So reminder, there will be, I realise for most of you, this is something new and it's just been presented to you, and you probably haven't picked everything up. There'll be an opportunity to explore this more in the question and answer time. I'm going to hand over to Larry, who's going to talk about a new full-time person for the future. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Graham. So we've lost our remote, have we? Yeah. All right, so I'll have a slide up there. So I'm going to take this opportunity this morning to review the need for a new leadership role in the church. I'm going to explain what the elders believe that role should look like, and I'm going to give a brief timeline of how we hope this can be implemented. I do want to say regarding Graham's presentation there. It has been a long time thinking about this, and I, in my observations of the church, having straddled both eldership and operational matters, I think that's definitely where we need to go. But I know that there are going to be issues. As a personal appeal to my fellow elders, I want to say, let's honor that commitment of backing out of operational decisions when we don't need to be in them. And to my fellow operational leaders, we all at times have complained about the elders getting involved in our ministry areas, and we all have turned around and complained when the elders don't do something as well. We need to, I was going to use an expression, something about pulling your head in one direction or another, but I don't know if that's a polite expression. I'll pass that one on. But we really need to get something straightened out for the future of our church, and I think this is the way to go. We as operational leaders are going to own the responsibility to communicate politely with each other on operational matters. I think that's going to be necessary. Now, coming to this topic of this new leadership role, why do we need a new leadership role in the church? Well, on the next slide, I'll just remind you that on the 21st of March of this year, I gave a message from 1 Corinthians 12 about gifts of service, and there were some technical difficulties having that message recorded, so I re-recorded it because I believe it's important for people to hear it, and that is now on the website. If you haven't heard it, you can listen to it. Additionally, shortly after that message, I sent everyone an email with a summary of the message, which explains some of the thinking behind this. Now, despite all the attempt at clarity that I've made here, I have myself heard several different versions of what I said on the 21st of March. And so I'm actually going to take a brief moment to clarify again in a short summary what's going on with me and my role, but mainly because that explains the need for the new role. So I was hired nearly 8 years ago as an assistant to the elders. My job description is clear, that the elders lead the church and that I'm under them, and I've always been very happy with that. I don't have strong leadership and organizational gifting, as anyone who's worked with me knows. Trace? And in this role at Bedford Community Church, I've been blessed to serve the church according to the gifting that I do have. And on the next slide, however, the needs of the church have shifted since I was hired. I've increasingly felt a pressure, not that anyone was personally pressuring me, but it's just been in the air, to take on leading the church for myself, as the elders' number has dwindled and two of them are so close to necessary retirement. And leading the church myself is not something that I ever agreed to do, never was asked to do, and I'm not gifted to do. In 1 Corinthians 12, leadership is a gift of the Spirit, which some believers have and others don't, and that's fine. And rather than fake it till I make it, Deb and I decided the right thing for me to do would be to explain this to the elders the best that I can, and to recommend finishing up my pastoral and ministries coordinator role in favor of creating a new leadership-focused employed role in the church. So, just because there's been a lot of unclarity about it, on the next slide, very clear points about what this means for me, because I had a lot of panicked folks worried that I was leaving the church and so forth. I have no intention of leaving the church. That's not my plan in the slightest. You are my family, and I love you all. I have given written notice of my intention to resign from this role. The effective date of my resignation is not decided yet. We need to have, the elders and myself, we need to work out a gradual transition here for the welfare of the church and for the welfare of my family as well. But it's going to need to be a gradual transition, especially for the changes that are happening in the church. So for now, I am still working more or less as I always have. And I'm not going to get into any more detail about things at the moment, but that's where it's at. I'm not going anywhere. if I can help it. I am resigning from this role, but that will be a transition, and when it wraps up, we don't know yet. We need a gradual transition in part because of the creation of this new leadership role. We need to finalize a job description and get the word out there and hopefully find prospective candidates and hire one. Now, in the next slide, we're going to talk about this role. What will we call this new leadership role? Well, that has been the subject of quite a bit of discussion among the elders. Not only for this time, but when they hired me and when they hired the last person. And there's always a big discussion about the title. And at the moment, we are leaning toward the word pastor. Now, here in our church, the elders are our pastors. And the person filling this role would be hired with a view to becoming a full elder. And so pastor is a fine and natural term for this role. That's very different from my role, which was not on eldership. The new person would be eligible for eldership after a year as a member of our church, and so that works nicely, as the first year in employment can be something of a trial for both him and for us. The essential job requirements and duties for this new role would be things like leadership and initiative and organization, administration, motivating others, direction and coordination and teamwork. Those are the things that we would primarily be looking for, is experience and gifting. This would be a person who would take some initiative among the elders while still working together with them as a team. He would administrate and organize on behalf of the elders with their authority in a way that was not true of my role, because he'd be one of them, at least in time. He could be, not necessary, but he could be a chairperson or facilitator for the leadership support team. He could, in many ways, help to bring some more cohesion and transparency and cooperation across all our ministry areas, and between the ministry areas and the elders. Now, there would also be desirable criteria and optional duties for this role, which would not be essential. And that would be gifting and direct participation in any of the various ministry areas in the church. In many churches, the pastor is not just the pastor or the shepherd or the leader, but he's also expected to do just about everything in the church. And that's a fair bit of what I talked about on the 21st of March. Well, we believe that is not a biblical expectation, no matter how many churches do things that way. Very biblically, here at Bedford Community Church, as one example, pastoral care is everyone's job. Think of Lynn, for example. Mine is not the only shoulder that she's had to lean on. We all look out for each other here in this church. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever get any indication that there should be one person designated in a congregation to care for everyone. Instead, it uses one another and each other language when it's addressing ordinary believers, saying that we comfort and encourage and love one another. And similarly, teaching and preaching in the church are not the sole province of one designated person, not biblically. Those activities should be done by those who have that gifting, regardless of whatever title we might give them. And those activities should not be done by someone who doesn't have that gifting, regardless of whatever title they might have. Those are just a couple examples, but that what goes for pastoral care and teaching also goes for any other direct service in the church. Whoever takes on our new leadership role in the church, to the extent that he's gifted for teaching or for evangelism or for pastoral care or whatever else, to that extent, those activities can be part of his supported work. But his main function is going to be in the area of leadership. This means that we do not want to rule out a candidate who meets the essential criteria, and maybe he's also great at pastoral care, but he's not specially gifted for evangelism, say. Well, we don't want to rule him out. Because the whole point of what we're doing in this church and Jesus' Great Commission is that we all, as disciples, do evangelism. So we don't need one guy to do our job for us. Or maybe we hire someone who's great at pastoral care, or sorry, great at leadership, and he's also good at evangelism. But he's no more gifted than the next person in pastoral care. Fine. We do our pastoral care the way we're biblically expected to. And we get this fellow to do what he is gifted at. We don't believe it's biblical to expect one person in the church to be gifted at everything. And so we plan to write our job description with that in mind. The essential criteria and duties would be the leadership, teamwork, organization, and so on. And to the extent the candidate is good at other aspects of ministry, that's great. And to the extent that he's not, well, that's fine too. So this is our vision for the new leadership role. Now, whether we end up calling it pastor or not, this is what we have in mind. We are open to any and all feedback about this approach to the job description or about the title. If you've got a better suggestion, let us know as soon as possible. We're going to be working together on the job description. I've been assigned to produce the first draft. So if you do have suggestions or comments, I'll happily receive them on behalf of the elders. But you can talk to any of them if you don't like me or whatever. On the next slide then, we are hoping to have the job description finalized over the next month. The earlier the better. And that way we can spend the second half of the year getting the word out and advertising for the position. And God willing, perhaps we can aim to start the new role in the beginning of 2022. But we'll see.
Thanks, Larry. Can we have that final slide up, please? So, folks, we've actually presented three critical advancements to you today. There is a fourth that got a big plug last week, if you were here, Evangelism Shift. So let's try and summarize and then open for a time of questions and answers. We're talking, and notice the overlap. This is an exaggerated Venn diagram. All these are connected. We've talked about three elders, three new elders, and a changed role for eldership. I trust you've picked that up. We're talking about a changed role for eldership. We're talking about a leadership support team, which is about people who are already doing that operational work in the church. And we're talking about the new role for eldership to focus on spiritual oversight of the church and the leadership support team to look after the operational area, and of course there'll still be some communication. We're talking about a full-time leadership role that Larry has emphasized. So there's quite a shift in what we're looking for from our full-time person for the future. And right in there, all connected, is our two-year program or initiative on Evangelism Shift, because so much the future of the church depends on seeing new people coming to Jesus so this church grows. So they are the four critical advancements that we bring to you today. Could we arrange a mic so that, because we're hoping people who aren't here this morning, we normally do when people participate in worship, so we hear people's questions. And could I ask Larry and Richard to come up the front with us, please? And we can probably stretch to the maximum of 15 minutes. We're particularly after questions for clarification, folks. As distinct from, let me just leave it at that. We're after clarity, so you go away with a sense of what these four big hitters are for our church at the moment. Looks like Steve's going to be our man. Thank you, Steve. Questions from the floor, please, for clarity about what's been produced today, because you only heard it today. We've been playing with it for months.